All right. Hello, everybody. This is the TFUMC Worship for the Week podcast. My name is Tim Peck, Director of Worship Arts here at First United Methodist Church in Thomasville, Georgia. And I'm joined by Church Administrator Floyd White. How's it going?
It's going well. Guess what I just got done doing?
What'd you do?
I just had breakfast on somebody else's dime.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. See, I've been training our vendors, you know, like like our insurance guy called yesterday and says, I need to review the church's policies with you. I can either come by your office, and I didn't respond, or I could take you to breakfast. And yep, there we go.
Yeah, that's a good option.
Yeah, it was good.
Great. What'd you guys have?
We went to the Q.
You know, I've been up here 7 months. I've not been there.
Really?
I've had it catered, never been there.
That's unfortunate. You
have to go
that.
On someone else's dime sometime.
That'd there you go.
All right.
SNL owes you one, buddy.
That's right. So what we're going to do on this podcast is this is going to be a little bit shorter. We're going to try one that really just kind of sticks with stuff going on this week. And then we're going to have a feature later on this week, an interview with James Sapp on some of the stuff going on in ministry at this time of year. We wanted to highlight a few things going on this week. We've got our UMW Circles meeting this week. Floyd, would you talk a little bit about what role UNW has here and throughout the Methodist Church?
All right. So first of all, I would say that's an unusual name for younger folks. It's UMW Circles. So that is what in today's vernacular would be their small groups, their adult discipleship groups. So, but UMW really is one of the core I hate to say institutions, but it's just a core piece of the United Methodist identity, right?
Yeah.
So, and United Methodist women, I think, which is exciting, they're most known for missions, right?
Oh, cool.
Some of the best things the United Methodist Church has done has come through United Methodist women.
Mm-hmm.
And so United Methodist women here at our church is strong. Have different small groups that they meet, UMW circles. Some of them meet more often, but they all meet at least monthly.
Okay.
Yeah. So very, very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And those meetings are happening this week. We also have our Safe Sanctuaries training coming up with Lori Gunter, our children's director. What is the role and purpose of the Safe Sanctuaries training?
Yeah, extremely important. So, Safe Sanctuaries is a policy that is not just unique to our United Methodist Church. Safe Sanctuaries is something that we've been putting in place through all the United Methodist churches, which is a great thing. And then each United Methodist church gets to kind of make it their own to fit their facilities and stuff. But basically, it is for the protection of children, students, and adults with special needs, and it's for their protection.
Yes.
So, it's absolutely crucial that our church has this policy, and it's not just for, you know, as a star or feather in your cap to say to visitors, hey, we take child safety seriously. You know, it's designed to protect our children. And so people who volunteer with our children, students, they have to go through Safe Sanctuaries training. It's painless. You watch some videos and make sure you understand how this applies when you come in on your first day to volunteer. And it puts some really kind of what we consider at this point in time common sense things into practice. But it's things like, you know, adults will not be alone with children.
Right.
Yep. So in a Sunday school class, you always have at least two adults, you know. And so and then it even goes so far as the two adults that are serving usually we try to make sure that they are not a couple. So you would have, two non-related people serving in a class of children. And so we try to keep that in place for everything we do. It's just it's a good practice, and it's important. And I'm proud that we govern our facilities like that.
And we both have two girls.
Yours
are a couple years older than mine, but we both have that. And when we have services provided for our kids, there are certain standards that we expect and level of comfort that we have in placing our kids there, and you cannot, there's no substitute for that.
That's
so
right.
this is just a way to ensure that. And it's comforting to know that we provide that, but we also receive the benefit of that as well.
Absolutely. And you know, if we have any folks that are considering visiting our church, I would also mention that we background check all of our volunteers mm-hmm. and staff. So that's important too.
Yeah, speaking of staff, we've had another week with Jake Wimberly, and yeah. we're excited to get him on board. He's got some great ideas about things we can do to make the process of getting our new folks invested into the church and plugged in. He's got lots of great ideas for that.
Absolutely, he's passionate. And he's excited. He sees what God is doing here and the potential for more for our church, mm-hmm. and that makes me excited. But you're right. As far as he's a young guy, but he has had some really incredible experiences. God has done some amazing things in his life, but he's also served at some churches that are really doing well.
Yeah.
And so he's learned some good lessons. He's going to come in. He's going to listen to people. He's going to get to know people, mm-hmm. and then he's going to help us start making some moves to help us out. So
yeah, that fresh energy is just
for sure.
Bottle that up.
Kind of like awesome. When you came in, Tim.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah. So it's going to be great. I can't wait to see what's going on just with the discussions there. And one other thing I wanted to mention about this week is that I'll be meeting with Kelly Warnock, who is our creative design leader, in the contemporary service. And so if you've ever been in the fellowship building and seen the backdrop of the stage or anything that's on the stage, that looks creative besides just the instruments and equipment, that's due to the design of Kelly Warnock. She's an interior designer and an artist. What we did with the Advent series was just phenomenal. I mean, she came and painted. You can't see it right now because we're just talking about it, but it was really neat. And if you were there, you know what I mean. We're going to be meeting this week to talk about what's going on with the next season. We meet every couple of months to talk about what the next creative design is going to be, and we've got Lent coming up.
Well, you know, and so it should just be really sparse, is what
right. Well, maybe we start grandiose and then start stripping the elements away.
There you go.
Just
there
to put them right back
I
for
like
Easter.
That. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's a lot of pressure, though, you know, because people do watch that. And I know she takes a lot of ownership, but I hand it to her. She makes magic with very little, you know.
Well, and the other thing is that it all ties in with the season of the church. We talked a little bit last week about the season of the church, and that's the goal. The goal is that it works to enhance the ministry, enhance the worship that we do. And that brings us to talking about this week's worship. So we've got the scripture, Luke 16, 17 through 26. Take us through that scripture.
Oh, man. This one is chock full of goodness. You know, it has really kind of... it's really can almost be seen as two pieces. So the first part has this amazing statement about the people that had been crowding around Jesus, and so we see something in particular about this group of folks. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and so these. Jesus had a reputation, you know, people were changed by him. These people crowded around him. They just needed to be touched by him. And then at the end of verse 19 in the NIV version, it says, because power was coming from him and healing them all. You know,
wow.
How amazing power was coming from him. So very, very impressive there to think of Jesus on those surrounded by those people. And then he does a hard teaching. You know, he gets into talking very similar to kind of what he does in the Sermon on the Mount. But he says, blessed are you who are poor, who hunger now, who weep now. Blessed are you when people hate you. And so those are places where oftentimes people don't feel blessed,
right.
But yet,
Jesus. Yeah, that's an amazing thing, because before that, the people who were blessed were the ones that were in power, did have the money,
that's
and
right.
He said, "Not so fast."
That's right. Yeah, and then in the end, but woe to you who are rich,
what?
Woe to you who are well fed now, as I just bragged about my big breakfast. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. You know, so I'm interested to know where James is going to go on this one.
Yeah, and I think I mean, my guess, when I'm thinking about this from the worship leader perspective, the musical perspective, is that it's not that those things are inherently bad. It's when that is the thing, when that's the it, when that's the goal is to have power and you know, just have more food than you know what to do with. It's when you are using the gifts and the resources that you have to help other people and to invest in ministry, that's kind of what he's saying. That's what we want to do.
For sure.
And he encourages us to do those things. So we have a couple of guest artists this week. I'll be out of town this weekend, but it's really cool that we have a community of worship leaders who are friends of ours and friends of the church and are willing to dedicate some of their time and energy to continuing our ministry here. And so in the contemporary service, we have Johnny Payne. Johnny Payne is a worship leader who is dynamic.
You just can't call him Johnny, and you can't call him Mr. Payne. It's got to be Johnny Payne.
Johnny Payne! Yeah, yep. So. No, he is an electrifying worship leader. And I don't say that because, you know, you just think of him as a rock star. You think of him as somebody who feels the movement of the Spirit, and he is able to channel that when he worships.
For sure. He can go anywhere, at any time, at any place. And, you know, when we were searching for our worship arts director, Johnny came and filled in for us several times, and he definitely brings a different flavor. You know, he's got some gospel roots to him, and you know, but he is just dynamic. He comes in, you know, really at a disadvantage. He doesn't lead here every week, but yet he can really kind of bring our team together and produce something just a little bit different. But he does it so well. He actually leads worship at a church in Tallahassee as well, and so we're going to actually do a kind of an extended set at the beginning.
That's right.
For him, right, and then he'll be able to slip out just a bit early.
That's right. Yeah, he's going to be going through some tunes, "Open the Heavens" from Gateway Worship, which is a song that he actually introduced me to. I wasn't familiar with that one. He did a concert for us over the summer, and it was just left a big impression on me. Songs like "Greater" from Elevation Worship and Israel Houghton, and "Yearn." Oh my gosh! If you've not heard the song "Yearn," it's not a new tune.
No, it actually takes me back to some of my college days or post college days.
When I was first
Shane
playing
and Shane.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah, 15, 16 years ago, when I was getting involved in ministry, that song was one that was always really powerful.
Luckily, Shane and Shane don't listen to our podcast, so they're not going to hear us talk about how old they are. But yeah. a great song, and it's one of those where There may be some a bit of a repetition into a chorus or something like that, and some people kind of take that weird. What's your thoughts on that?
This is a song that does not have any pretentiousness about it. It doesn't try to do too much with the text. It asks the questions of, why am I okay with just bringing mediocre gifts to God? Mm-hmm. He's blessed me with so much. I want to be on fire for you. It says, I want to yearn for you. I want to burn with passion over you and only you. And that, I mean, that is the heart song right there.
For sure.
And I think that's one of the reasons why you can sing that song many times through. And it's got lots of different levels to it. But it's powerful because it's something that we all, as Christians, it consumes us sometimes. That dichotomy of man versus spirit.
Absolutely.
And that song helps us to bring that forth.
Well, and you know, I get the opportunity in that song because sometimes a song will move so quickly through something that I won't get the opportunity to really kind of savor it or really hear it, you
know?
And so with repetition of choruses and things like that, it gives me the opportunity to think about it in multiple ways.
That's right.
And so when you say, I want to yearn for you, I mean, let's face it, as someone who's been a Christian for most of their life now, it seems like that there are certainly many seasons in which you don't feel a burning passion.
Right.
But to be able to hear that and say, but I want to, yes. You know, and you can take the opportunity to maybe rekindle that a little bit when you know the words, mm-hmm. they're said a few times over, you can close your eyes, kind of focus in and really focus on that yearn. So,
yeah. What are the great athletes, where they get into trouble is when they think too much.
That's right.
You know, when it just kind of happens naturally, when they get in the zone, I think that's the kind of, dynamic worship that Johnny Payne is going to bring this weekend.
For sure.
Let's flip over real quick to the traditional side, and someone who is no stranger to this church, William Collins. So he was here several years ago, and he served as the director of traditional worship arts for a long time. How long have you known William?
I've known William for, let's see, I've been here almost 18 years, mm-hmm. and... you know, he served alongside me for, you know, probably almost half of that time,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So William has got a lot of connection here, which is good for our congregation,
yes.
You know? They like seeing William back, and it's good to have him kind of serve. It's definitely his element, you know? He actually even used to lead some of our contemporary stuff.
That's right,
as well.
Yes. He's telling me stories about that. It's true. I'm thrilled. He's chosen an amazing anthem, arrangement by John Purifoy, but it's the old tune, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy. And I'm just going to read a little of the text here, because vocal music is text set to music and not the other way around. And so as a choir director, we search for finding the balance between sounding beautiful and sounding articulate. And so we've got to make sure that we communicate the words. And if we don't do that, then all we're doing is... The meaning of the words is what separates vocal music from instrumental music. Instrumental music implies a lot of the themes, but vocal music very clearly expresses it. And so when we sing, there's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior. There is healing. There is healing in his blood. Whoa.
Yeah, for sure.
And what's really neat, the orchestration of this, the instrumentation, the piano accompaniment is so busy in this song. And Stephen Turner, bless him, he is up to the challenge of this. It is a challenge. He is up to it, and I cannot wait to hear him put his talent to this.
I'm looking across the studio.
A lot of notes.
A.K.A. your office.
My office.
And I'm seeing a bunch of 16th notes on there. So
it's intense. But it
so
has that...
piano.
Yes, this will be a piano accompaniment, but it's hard to describe, but it just flows and it's very busy accompaniment, and the language is just simply presented in the vocal line. It's a lot of unison on this piece, which means that it's going to come through strong and clear. And just as it finishes up here, the text finishes with, "For the love of God is broader than the measure of one's mind." I'm just going to stop there and say that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's such a beautifully written way of saying it. I don't have everything. He's got everything. His love is broader than the measure of one's mind.
For sure.
Can't fathom it,
and that's exactly it. We cannot fathom the extent to which God loves us, but we need to be reminded of that, because it can lose its wow factor. So.
Yes, yes. Sure. And the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more simple, we could take him at his word, and our lives would be more loving in the likeness of our Lord. So we want to be more like him. This song summarizes that he has all the glory, and yet he loves us. And as we discussed last week, we don't always think that's the best outcome there. We wouldn't necessarily make that choice, because we know our own hearts. We know our own faults and our own weaknesses. But he also knows what he has in store for us, which is amazing. So I can't wait to hear recordings of these services. I think they're going to be really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And we hope that you'll come in and make it a priority to be here on Sunday, those of you who are listening to us. And It's been fun. Week one, we got some feedback that at least three people listened, so that's great.
And at least two of those were my parents. All right, so that about does it for the Worship for the Week podcast. Take a listen later on this week. We'll have an interview with our pastor, James Sapp. Take care.